Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260. Today's broadcast, lesson number 6 of week number 14, studying Matthew chapter 14, part of a one chapter per week, 260-week, 5-year-long study of the New Testament. As we begin, these reminders. For unlimited access to all of our materials, just click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For an email listing of those materials, just send a message to free at ighradio.com. To receive text updates, text the word IGH free to 55222. That's IGH free, all one word. Just text IGH free to 55222. Two convenient ways to study God's Word. First, a self-paced online Bible study program. Get started by going to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. Second, a 30-lesson Bible study by mail. To request it, either call this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988, or send a message using the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com. Let's return to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 and following, tell us that after Jesus went to a deserted place, the multitudes heard about it, and they followed him. At that point, Jesus, seeing the multitude, was moved with compassion, and Jesus healed their sick. The multitudes who had been consistently following Jesus since the start of his ministry found out where Jesus was, and they joined him. This has happened before, and as we continue our studies, we will see that it happens again. In the "This Has Happened Before" department, Matthew 12:15 tells us, "But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all." In that setting, Jesus had just healed the man in the synagogue with the withered hand. He did so on the Sabbath day, which prompted the Pharisees to plot how they might kill him. When Jesus knew of their intentions, he withdrew, but, as the greater context tells us, not out of fear. And, as we just read, the multitudes followed him, and Jesus healed them all. Matthew 12, verse 15. In this context, Matthew 14, 13 and following, the same thing happened. The multitudes followed Jesus, and Jesus healed the sick in their midst. The only difference was this. Between being told that the multitudes followed Jesus and Jesus healing them, we learn the reason why Jesus did so. He healed because he was moved with compassion. We noted a moment ago that what Jesus did here, withdrawing and then seeking solace elsewhere, had happened before. As evidence of that, we just cited and briefly discussed Matthew 12:15. But we also said that what Jesus did in this setting, he would do again. We only have to read 10 more verses to witness that. In Matthew 4:23, the text says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there." The consistent message? Jesus, upon seeing the multitudes, did what Jesus had often done before. He felt compassion for them, and because he cared for them, Jesus healed those who were sick. Matthew chapter 14, verse 15, tells us that when evening came, the disciples encouraged Jesus to send the multitudes into the villages in order to buy food. Their reason? This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. When we read the words "deserted place," we might conjure up a picture of some foreboding and vast desert with miles and miles of sand and snakes, a place completely devoid of life, and certainly a place without readily available food. Vivid picture? Yes, but not an accurate one, not in this context. The term translated as "deserted" pertains to being in a state of isolation. Isolated or desolate, deserted, usually used of an area isolated, unfrequented, abandoned, empty. It's the same word rendered as wilderness, the place in Judea where John was preaching, Matthew 3:1, the very type of place that Isaiah prophesied that John would preach in, Matthew 3:3. It was where Jesus was led up by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil, Matthew 4:1. The most recent occurrence in Matthew, before this text anyway, was Matthew 11:7, where Jesus questioned the crowds about the work of John the Baptizer. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? The words deserted place refer more to being a largely uninhabited region than the desert picture that we might have in mind. Its use in Luke 15:4 tells us that it would not necessarily have referred to a place so totally devoid of vegetation that we might imagine. In that context, Jesus referred to the 99 sheep who were in the wilderness. The disciples' point, then, was not so much that this place was the barren desert that we imagine, as it was that it was unlikely to have the right kind of food and in sufficient amounts in order to sustain the multitudes. Beside that, it was growing late in the day. Thus, their instructions to Jesus to send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food, made perfect sense, to them anyway. The setup for Jesus, however, was perfect. It's interesting to note the attitude of the disciples versus the attitude of the Master in this context. In the following verse, Matthew 14:16, Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." First, this deserted place was not where you would typically find food, especially not for such a large group of people. Second, Jesus, remember, had compassion on the multitudes. That compassion, in this context, initially prompted Jesus to heal the sick among the multitude. In Matthew 9:36, Jesus' compassion moved him because he viewed the multitudes as weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. In that setting, Jesus' concern was for their spiritual food, more so than physical food. That led directly to Jesus commissioning the 12 to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel in the next chapter, Matthew 10. In a similar setting in the next chapter, Matthew 15, Jesus had compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I do not want to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way, Matthew 15:32. The initial reference to compassion in Matthew 14 moved Jesus to heal. In Matthew 15, it moved Jesus to feed. In Matthew 14, it moved Jesus secondarily to feed. And then, in the last example that we want to note here, Jesus, because of his compassion, touched the eyes of the blind so that they could see, Matthew 20:34. This does not mean, of course, that the disciples were totally without compassion. Their suggestion was practical. Let the people go into the villages to buy food. But Jesus' intention to feed them not only demonstrated his compassion, but his willingness to provide on a large scale all of the necessities of life. And in this context, feeding the hungry was definitely a necessity. Jesus presented a challenge to the disciples. The people do not need to leave. You provide food for them to eat. That must have sounded like the most outlandish comment to the 12. Us? Feed this multitude? That's not at all possible. Why, the only thing we have here are 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. While bread and fish were part of the typical diet of the day, the quantity available would never feed this crowd. Again, Jesus was setting the stage. First, those taught often provided for the teacher. It was considered common courtesy. But on this occasion, the teacher would provide for the students. Second, Jesus showed a distinct difference between himself and the apostles. It was not only the difference between Jesus' ability to miraculously provide and their inability to do so. It was also a difference in attitude, a difference in caring, a difference in putting others first. We have not seen it yet, but later in Jesus' ministry, some of the apostles would jockey for positions of greatness in what they perceived would be their right in the coming kingdom. Jesus, of course, knew what he was about to do, but until he did it, the disciples had no idea what was coming. Their thinking, again, seemed natural enough. Let the people go get food for themselves. But what Matthew tells us, after the fact, and by the inspiration of the Spirit, was this, that Jesus felt compassion for them, and thus Jesus felt a responsibility for them. Another lesson here, compassion, like love and like faith, when it defines God and Christ, was always active. It was not just an emotion, not just a feeling. It was an emotion based on a principle, the inherent worth of every soul that could, if it was not already doing so, that could reflect God's image even more clearly than it was presently. And even if a soul never reached that potential, Jesus still cared, and Jesus still acted on that soul's behalf. Based on the principle of the intrinsic worth of souls, all souls, Jesus taught, Jesus healed, and Jesus fed. We have already noted that on another occasion, the closing verses of Matthew chapter 9, that Jesus considered the multitudes to be like sheep who had no shepherd, indicating that there was a sense of aimless wandering, spiritually speaking anyway, that characterized many people of the day. Jesus' sense of compassion was never politically motivated. It was never economically motivated. It was never selfishly motivated. It appears in this and in other texts to spring from a genuine concern for both the spiritual and the physical welfare of the people that Jesus met everywhere that he went. Jesus always wanted what was best for them. And, as we often witness in the gospel records, Jesus provided, Jesus met those physical and those spiritual needs. As just noted, Jesus was driven because he recognized the intrinsic worth of every soul. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew 14. This reminder as we close, consider enrolling in our free self-paced online Bible study. To get started, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com.